Shake it off. Shake off all the baggage. Shake off all the pain. Shake off all the heartache. Shake off all the loneliness. We're going in and into a new day full of joy. Someone say joy. Come on, someone say joy. Come on, we're going to prophesy this over America tonight. Away from America. We're going to show this a joy.
One of these people a guitar.
Come on.
As a prophetic sign.
Come on.
In America, we need to get people off their screens and on guitars singing the song of the Lord. Come on, open up your sword. Open up your weapon to slay the giants. Come on, open it up. Of some of y'all just getting on a one-way ticket to a city, carrying your guitar, playing in the subway, breaking up depression on people, freeing people from suicide. I see some of you guys walking onto a bridge where people commit suicide because the song of the Lord from your heart is going to stop that spirit on their life. God is releasing kings on a generation. The enemy has come in with depression, anxiety. He's used TikTok, he's used all this perversion to try to mess us up, but this is the season when the sword is coming out. The song of the Lord is being raised up. There's going to be a generation of worshipers that take the sound of the Lord across America. Could you guys give up a huge shout to Governor Ron DeSantis and First Lady? So this is the 2021 Defender of Our Freedom Award presented to Governor Ron DeSantis. Would you just thank him again? Thank him again. Well, I thank you for the DeSantis family. I thank you for the gift that they are to America. I thank you, Lord, that in the midst of a pandemic and tyrannical governors and leaders, Lord, you raised up godly men and women to stand up for our rights as the church and to stand up for the Constitution. We pray, God, that 2022 would be a year of breakthrough for this family. We thank you for full healing in the name of Jesus. For his beautiful wife, we thank you that she's going to be healed. We thank you that she's going to have breakthrough. And tonight we declare a blessing over this family. From Let Us Worship, from people all over the world, we declare a blessing on this family. We declare continued provision. And I just feel like the Lord says, you have no idea what he has in store. It's going to blow your mind. You are the first place. And tonight I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my emotions. And I give you control of my life. I want to love what you love. I want to hate what you hate. Give me your heart. I am yours. Come on, say that. I am yours. Come on, say it again. I am yours.
Greetings and blessings. And Happy New Year 2022. Precious fam and friends of bbtemple.org worldwide, that joy bomb to usher in 2022 was from none other than Sean Foyt of hashtag Let Us Worship, an evangelistic movement I first introduced you to a little over a year ago. Born humbly during a gathering on the Golden Gate Bridge during the tyrannical Cali lockdowns of 2020. Lo and behold, now they ring in the new year, 2022, with a mighty roar on the shores of freedom-loving Miami for the glory of God indeed. Today, I pray that we shall see God's magnificent hand in orchestrating a happy new revival for our community right here in Dallas. Amen. Amen. So, let's take a closer look at what I agree with Sean Foyt is a significant verse for 2022 and beyond, found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 22. O holder of the golden clicker, change that slide, thank you. And you will see on the screen, or you should. Isaiah 22:22 from the NASB. Then I will put the key of the house of David on his shoulder. When he opens, no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. Now let's add some context to this verse so it makes a little more sense, right? And how do we do that? We can go to commentaries. Plenty of free commentaries available on the World Wide Web. Some better than others, so beware. But there's such a plethora of material. And that's what I'm going to read from today. This from the Bridgeway Bible Commentary. And they're talking about what's going on in the midst of this verse. So we tend to take verses, pluck them out. They sound really good. Great t-shirts, put them on coffee mugs. But I think God's more important about us learning from what's going on around it. Amen? Amen. So here's what's going on. Jerusalem is being besieged. In Judah, the land where the prophet had his visions of judgment on other nations, he recalls one of God's judgments on Judah, namely the Assyrian siege of Jerusalem. On that occasion, the city was saved only through the faith of Hezekiah and of Isaiah. You can find that in 2 Kings, 18th chapter. Now, ignoring the gracious intervention of God that had miraculously saved them, the people celebrate as if they won the victory all by themselves. Isaiah is disgusted at the lighthearted attitude of the people, particularly when he recalls their cowardly behavior during the siege. The city's leading officials fled the doomed city only to be killed or captured by the enemy. They ran away. We ever have politicians do that? I'm thinking. But I digress. The prophet describes the scene during the siege outside of Jerusalem. Enemy forces spread across the countryside while battering rams try to smash the city walls. Soldiers are hired from various countries, eager to start fighting. Now he's fine. Someone to fight for a fee, right? Now, inside Jerusalem, the soldiers rush to the army headquarters for weapons. There's much activity to save the city's water supply. Where the city wall is crumbling under the enemy attacks, the Jerusalemites desperately build it up, even demolishing their own houses to obtain bricks for the work. But they do not turn to God for help. Other citizens, however, feel that, you know, they're sure that Jerusalem's going to fall. So what do? Nothing. They do nada. They do nothing to help. But they tend to enjoy themselves. They choose to enjoy themselves as much as they can for as long as they can. They show no repentance for their sins that have brought this disaster upon them. No responsibility. Now Shebnon, who happened to be Hezekiah's chief official, is condemned for using his position for the benefit of himself instead of for the benefit of the people. He loved the honor of a procession of chariots preceding him wherever he went. But now he will be shamefully removed from office. Instead of having a magnificent funeral, he will be buried in disgrace. His position, which was the top decision-making position in the land after the king, will be taken by someone by the name of Eliakim. But Eliakim will be used by his relatives and his friends for their own advantage. And this will eventually be the cause of his downfall. Oh, not a good situation, peeps. So what do we have? What do we have here? And when you look more closely, you see that what was happening way back then, sure sounds a lot like what we're dealing with today, right? Oh, Klein Clicker person, if you would, change that slide and we will look closer. First of all, they did not turn to God for help, verses 8 through 11. They do nothing to help. And they show no repentance, 12 through 14. And third, government officials were more concerned about themselves than the people, 24 through 25. You know, when I hear people say that the Bible is outdated, I know for sure they're not reading it. And I know for certainly sure they're not studying it. Because that sounds a lot like a chronic case of what we're having today. I call it WIFM. W-I-F-M. Do you know what that stands for? Wait, I'll tell you. It means what's in it for me. For me. Sounds like that a bad case of WIFM to me. And just slightly updated. If you just did a slight update of wardrobe, sadly, this describes what you see playing out just about on every, not necessarily every news outlet. I'm thinking of one in particular, Newsmax TV, who actually would report on something like this. But I digress. So, fear not. Fear not, precious peeps. Our awesome Lord is still in charge. He is still in control. He is living and active today. So here's the takeaway I want for today. Oh, anointed clicker person, if you'd be so kind just one last time, please change that slide. Thank you. Now, according to Sean Foyt, his hashtag Let Us Worship efforts have shared the good news of Jesus Christ with nearly 500,000 people. 500,000 people in just a little over a year. Incredible. And 40,000 precious souls have made professions of faith. Glory to God. Had it not been from that wicked governor out there, that wouldn't happen. So you know what? The Lord turns even the bad stuff for good. But back to what I hinted at in the beginning, when I said, today I pray that we shall see God's magnificent hand in orchestrating a happy new revival for our community right here in Dallas. I did say that, quoting myself. But here's what I really want to happen. I truly do believe that Dallas is ripe for revival. But the key lies with us, with our hearts. Because revival starts with our personal and our individual confession of how we are falling short of the glory of God and our recommitment to repent and pursue holiness is the key to revival in the future. So, you know, I say, let's do that now. What better time than the new year than to make that confession of faith yet again? Never too early, never too late. It's always on time. And as of those who have been around for a little while, the how to share your faith is what we need to be doing, not just for others, yes, of course for others, but once in a while we need to do it for ourselves. So let's, again, if you would, with me, simple as 1, 2, 3, pray with me. Lord, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and lead me. That is a profession of faith that starts a relationship. That is the profession of faith that continues and strengthens a relationship. And that's what I pray for the new year. Oh, Heavenly Father, may this be the humble prayer that unleashes the spirit of revival at BB Temple, and may it spread farther and faster than any mere virus indeed. Amen. For your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.